It's been great over these last few weeks. It's sort of a bit of an informal series that we put together on what it means to be church. So Rob kicked us off talking about what it means to be a covenant community, covenanting to God and how he's covenanted to us and we covenant to him. And then this flows out in terms of how we connect and covenant together as a church. Hannah talked about being a countercultural community, how God wants his people to shape and influence the environments that he places them in. And that will sometimes be counter, different to the world around us. I'm going to wrap up this series, but also introduce how we're, as a church, we're rethinking concept of membership, what it means to belong to this church. So there are people who say, you know, I want to be a member of this church. And so they've sort of formally acknowledged that. We want to change that. We want to take the word membership away because I'm not sure it really reflects what God really wants for people who are connecting with the church. And we've gone around the houses for this with this, but we feel that the word partner is a better word. It better reflects what we're created to be and do as the church. And I want to talk about that today under this heading of being a co-laboring church. Being a co-laboring church. I will talk a lot about being partners, but you know, there's a phrase that we use about what it means to be a co-laborer with Christ. So I'm going to wrap this series up today by looking at what it means to be a co-laboring church. But what does that mean? What does that mean? And the reality is that how we answer that question is so very, very important because it affects how we view our connection, our relationship with church and with God. It's the so what question. And the so what question here is a really important one. Because I believe that God in his sovereignty calls us to partner or to co-labor with him. I'd go as far to say that it's in God's nature to partner and co-labor with the people that he has created. He doesn't need to get the job done, but he chooses to. He chooses to. And it's been there right from the start, right from the beginning. He set it out, however you choose to interpret these opening chapters of Genesis. There at the beginning of humanity's story, there's this co-laboring, this connection, this partnering with God relationship. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and the wild animals and over all creatures that move along the ground. The role of humanity was given way back then was to be in relationship with God, in connection, in partnership. It's always meant to be done in partnership with him. But it was through that partnership to kind of display and reflect who God is. Connection was lost, it was broken, but Jesus, in restoring that connection between God and humanity through the cross, reestablishes that mission for us to display, to partner with him. And he reestablishes the mandate to do it, and I believe he puts that firmly at the feet of the church. He puts it at the feet of the church. In his sovereignty, that's what I believe he's given us a task and a role to do. He's chosen to do it this way. So what it says in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul writes, we are co-workers with God. We are co-workers with God. I think there's a twofold understanding of this little phrase. And if you read in the different translations, it kind of reflects the different ways in which you can read it. There's a chap called Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee was a pioneer in the Chinese church, persecuted for his faith. And this is what he said about this being a co-laborer with God. He says, what the church needs is not a group of able workers, but a group of people who are bound together with God, who are co-workers with God. When God works, you work. When God rests, you rest. When God withdraws, you withdraw. When God goes on, you go on. You do this because you are bound with him as one. He's talking about this connection with God. The co-laboring, the work we do is born out of that relationship with him. But we don't do it alone, do we? We work together. And I think that's a really important aspect of this passage too. And that's part of why we want to talk about being partners in this church. We're not called to do this alone. You read through the scripture, read the Bible, time and time again, the Bible encourages us, his people, to partner together, to co-labor together. The lovely little phrase, and I think it's in Zechariah or something, that talks about standing shoulder to shoulder. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder. We can't do this on our own. We go so far, but there'll always be a limit to it. Can't do it on our own. We need to stand together. So that's just a little bit about what we want to sort of be introducing as a church, what it means to be a co-laboring church. We are co-laboring with God, and we're co-laboring together, partnering together. But what are we co-laboring for? What are we working towards? What is the goal, if you like? What is this all about? And I think that is what I want to talk a little bit about today as we start to think about what it means to be a partner or a co-laborer with God. So this is what it says in Ephesians 1. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So here we've got the function, the role of the church, but the purpose is for God, for Christ to fill all things everywhere with himself. All things everywhere. In my understanding of that, that's everything. A little bit further on in Ephesians, it says, this is 4 verse 10, and the same one who descended is also the one who ascended, higher than all the heavens. And then it says this, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. So that he might fill the entire universe with himself. So we're called to co-labor with Christ to see his influence touch every area of culture and society. That's what I believe that is saying. We do this by his spirit, through our words, our actions, our prayers. We do it through his presence within us, manifest through us. So what it's not about is simply rocking up here on a Sunday, having a good time, although I hope you do have a good time, and then rocking up here next Sunday. See, that changes what God has said. That says there, actually, it's not about filling all things everywhere with himself. That's about filling the church with himself. Now, I want this place to be filled with that sense of God's presence. And I believe we experience and taste it and know that sometimes. But that's not what it's all about. This gathering and any programs and any courses, any groups, any activities that we run about as a church have got to be about equipping and enabling us to be part of the process that we need to be doing from Sunday to Sunday, which is bringing that sense of God's call upon our lives to fill all things everywhere with himself, equipping us to do that and be part of that, to co-labor with him in that. It's got to look like something, hasn't it? Can't just be about this time on a Sunday morning. We're not about building bigger churches. We're not. We grow, we grow. We're about saying, Lord, what do you want me to do to see your kingdom come today? What do you want me to do to see your influence, your presence, impact the places that you've put me, the places where I find myself? Because if we make it about anything else, we're missing the point of what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, yeah? That's not just there. All things, everywhere, with himself. The mistake the church has made is it's made it about the church. It's almost put the church in there. It said, actually, this is about filling the church. It's not. I think it's about emptying the church. As you go from this place, week in, week out. That's what we were talking about last week a little bit, as I kicked you out the door and I said, go and be the church. So I want to just spend a few minutes before the children come back in talking about how we might do that practically. Because again, it's got to look like something, hasn't it? It can't just be a good idea. It's got to look like something for wherever you find yourself. And I want to use these five principles that I think God has given us, and they are our value, and they are significant in terms of how we are, how we be, if you like, how we do, you know, what we are as a church. So the five principles of Arise: being ambitious for the kingdom, restored in our identity, inside out living, servant soul, and empowered by the Spirit. And I just want to talk through each one of those in the light of this question about how we co-labor, how we partner with God and together to see what he's calling us to, which is everything to be filled with him. Everything includes us individually, includes our families, our homes. I believe it includes the work we do, community. So, is that all right? 10 minutes. Hopefully. I need chairs. So I don't have my trusty whiteboard this week. You'll be glad to hear. But we've got these. These will go up at some point. I promise you, Barney, we're waiting for the back wall to be decorated. And we're going to put these up because we think this is really important. So I'm just going to use these today. Rob asked me earlier, he said, are you going to walk around this morning? Rob's on cameras today. Are you going to walk around today? No, I'm just going to put a big board up and hide behind it. So ambitious for the kingdom. This is about seeing like Jesus. And it says there, for us all to have a vision for all things everywhere, to be shaped and influenced by the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, and to be seeking to see this fulfilled. I read a quote this week. It said, kingdom partners express kingdom desires. They carry the dreams and seed of the Father and exercise authority to release this in communities. What are your kingdom desires for yourself, for your family, for wherever God has placed you and put you? What does it look like in the hospital, in the workshop, in the care situation? What does it look like in the ambulance? What does it look like in that part of the world where you guys love and serve, and as you're building boats or, you know, caring for your children? What does it look like? I could go around the room. For each of us, we want to ask the question, what does it look like? What does that advancing kingdom look like for you? And that's simply as kind of a partner at City Life Church. That's all we want you to do. And if everybody says, okay, what does that look like for me? What does it look like for me? Then I think we're taking a step towards saying, okay, what does it look like for all things everywhere to be filled? Because you're saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What part do I play in that? Okay, all right. Are we good? The next one, restored identity. This is about being like Jesus. Good job no one's sitting on the front row this morning, isn't it? Say that again, Tony. Yeah, thanks, mate. I didn't even know you were here, Tony. I didn't see you. Now I do. Yeah, you did. Okay. So we've got restored identity. Sorry, you guys over here, I'm going to see that, bro. I'm going to bring it around a little bit. So restored identity. This is really important. It's about being like Jesus. For us all to have a relationship with God through Christ, and fully grasp our identity and authority in the world as children of the living God. Cannot underestimate the change that takes place in you when you become a Christian. Jesus says it's like you've been born again. New Testament, in another part, it says you're adopted into God's family. God becomes your heavenly father and you his child. You have a whole new identity and relationship with God. This is what you're created for. This is what you're created for. With this new identity as a child of God comes new purpose in life. To be ambitious for the kingdom. That's what we've been talking about. For God to be shaping and influencing you, your home, your relationships, every area of your life. And to fulfill this is important. And so we're still working out what this looks like as a church. To fulfill this, God has given you this new purpose. God has given you kind of an authority to represent him as you do this. Speaking and acting on his behalf to bring about the good things that he wants to see and you want to see because he wants to see. He has also, through the cross, given us authority over destructive and damaging forces and powers that are always opposed to the goodness of God. So the focus here on restored identity is your relationship with God. It's about the all things everywhere being you. All of us, every part of us being kind of coming under his lordship, his rule and his reign. And are we seeking that? Are we seeking to grasp, to know our true identity and authority as children of God? Is this making sense? Are we all right? Yeah? Quiet out there today. So the next one. These are great, Barney. Thank you. I guess this is the one that takes a little bit of explaining. Inside out living. So this is about being free like Jesus. For us all to be seeking to live free from the negative influences of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And for the primary influence in our lives to be our relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father. Talking about our restored identity. Living from the inside out is about living according to the Holy Spirit from that place that God lives within us by his Spirit. But living from that restored identity. Now, I think living in your restored identity and the freedom that we have in that as a child of God can be a battle. And there are three fronts on which we've got to fight it. And be aware, there's the world. So the world is, I don't know, we're surrounded, aren't we, by messages, images, and ideas that are opposite to God's goodness and the best for you and the community. This is called the world. That's what the Bible is talking about when it talks about the world. You know, for the majority of us, we have no choice but to live in the midst of it. So we've got to learn to live in such a way that although we're in the midst of it, it doesn't rule us. We're not ruled by it. So how do we do that? Well, that's a whole other thing but to talk about later. But we need to be careful what we watch, what we read, what we listen to, what we eat, what we drink, what we do, what we think. Because these are all ways that we can almost allow the world to get a grip, sometimes negative things around us get a grip on us. Does that make sense to everyone? You know? So there's the world. What about the flesh? Well, what we're talking about here is this is about who you were before you received Christ. If you're a Christian, it's about who you were before you received Christ, your new identity as a child of God. And when you didn't have the God's Holy Spirit living within you, So remember, it talks about the flesh is about who you were. Remember, we talked about that major change that took place when someone comes to faith. And then there's the devil. This is an interesting one to try and explain. But, you know, there are demonic forces and powers that are opposed to everything good that God wants for you in this world. And I think that's what we're talking about here. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he defeated those forces, but they were not destroyed. They will be one day, but they were not destroyed. So what this means is they continue to influence and impact the world today, particularly, I think, for lots of people through negative thoughts and ideas. We might call them lies. So a lie can come into our mind, and if we believe it as true, what we do is we empower the liar. And these lies can really get a hold of us. When you think about negative things that we start to believe about ourselves, destructive things that we can start to believe about ourselves, or relationships, and they get a hold, and they can just cause havoc. So we need to learn how to recognize them. What this section here is about, living from the inside out, is about living from the place that God lives within you. Living from the place that God lives within you as a child of God, and not letting all these other influences come and get in the way, because they do. So it's almost like, where's the flow? Sometimes the flow comes from the outside, and it can be negative and destructive. When it comes from the inside, when it comes from, Jesus talks about it, doesn't he? The streams of living water will flow from within you. When we're living in the flow of the Holy Spirit, we can stand much stronger, I guess, or more firmly against these things. Okay. On our chairs. So we're talking about being servants of all, loving like Jesus, for us all to humbly and sacrificially serve people, not seeing ourselves as better than others, and always seeking to love the person that is before us. This is about how we relate to other people, whoever they are, whatever they've done, and it really matters to God, isn't it? What's the most, you know, Jesus is asked one day, what's the most important kind of laws, if you like? Love the Lord your God. But then he says what? Love your neighbor. It really matters to God how we connect with one another. And he wants us to be humble in all our relationships, here in the church and beyond. Humility is not about thinking less of ourselves. It's not about beating ourselves up. It's about thinking of ourselves less. Does that make sense? It's not about thinking of us less of ourselves, because then we're just falling into what we were talking about here. It's about thinking of ourselves less. It's about putting the needs of others before our own needs. I think two ways in which we can do this is we try to see people as God sees them. All people are special. They are created by God and he loves them. And as we start to see people as he sees them, there's no place in that. You know, when we do that, there's no place for pride, is there? And there's certainly no place for prejudice, because we see them as God sees them. And the second thing is that we need to be quick to forgive. These are just simple things in which we can live this out. See people as God sees them and be quick to forgive, because forgiveness or unforgiveness, lack of it, doesn't that just break down relationships? I know it's hard. I know this is difficult. It's challenging. But when we don't forgive, it can be incredibly destructive. Finally, thanks, Russ. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This has got to be a move of the Spirit in us. This is what it says there, for us all to be knowing and growing in our awareness, experience, and power and influence of the Holy Spirit, and what he wants to do in us and through us. Now, I Love the fact that here we will regularly pray for people, and we believe sometimes we lay hands on people and God moves. And he moves in the moment and in the instant, and we love that, don't we, Jen? We love it. And we will continue to do that because we believe there is that moment where God pours out his spirit and touches people, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. But, and there's a big but here, because what I believe when it comes to being filled by the Spirit is that we need to make space for God. Because what happens is that sometimes we diminish what God can do in our lives because we're so caught up, particularly with some of this stuff. He's not living as Lord over every area of our lives, and we're not seeking to live free. And what that means is that there can be limit and lack to what God can do in our lives because we're not giving over. It's not all things everywhere in terms of us being given over to him. Does that make sense? So the whole being filled by the Spirit, yes, it's an instant thing, but I believe it's a lifetime thing. It says in the New Testament, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's talking about, it's called the present continuous tense. Those of you who are better English than me, I believe that means it's filled and keep being filled and keep being filled and keep being filled. And as we do this, I believe as we do these things, we're making room for God. Because we're making less of the idols of ourselves, if you like. We're making less of gods of ourselves. We're saying, okay, you're in charge here, and I can trust you. I believe that when we do these things, this word arise comes from Isaiah 60, arise, shine, your light has come. I think as we do these things, we start to arise. And we start to see his light shining. And we start to see his glory revealed. And we start seeing hope restored to us and those around us. And I believe that's the calling of God upon his church. It's what it means to be a partner with him. To co-labor with him. To want to see the things that he sees. To seek to have him ruling and reigning over every area of our lives. To love as he would have us love, and to be filled with his Spirit. So if you want to be a partner in this church, and I hope all of you do, we're not going to put a whole list of things that you've got to do. We want to see you at church meeting. We want to do, you know, it's not about that. We're simply going to ask, are you seeking these things in your life? Because if you've got these things in your life, all that other stuff just flows out of it. And I believe it won't just affect the church, it'll affect the community. Because you'll be seeking it in the places that you find yourself. And in a few minutes' time, we have dedication. Love it. Now, we haven't had a dedication for ages and ages and ages, so I'm really excited about this. I was going back in my notes, like, almost couldn't find the last time. It was a long, long time ago. I can't remember when it was. But you guys are doing this. You guys are doing this. You're saying, okay, Lucia, Ava May, Ford, Ruben, we're going to be ambitious for the kingdom for you. You know what I mean? We're going to have hopes and dreams for you that you're going to embrace this stuff in your life and grow in it. It's just a part of it. An example of it, how we bring this into our home lives. So I hope that makes sense. I know we've been banging on about this for a long time, the Arise stuff, but I just think it's for the time ahead of us. I believe it's for the time ahead of us, and I would love for you to just spend a few moments learning this, getting it down. Because I think it's just the ministry of Jesus. That's why we've added these little phrases in here. It's just about seeing like Jesus and being like Jesus and being free like Jesus and loving like Jesus and living like Jesus. Because that's what he did. So let's pray together. Can somebody go and give the kids a shout and say, we are almost ready. Ben, do you want to come up and we're going to sing a song? Maybe do that one thing song, Barney. Yeah? So Father, we praise you. We love you. Thank you that you've stepped into our lives, and Lord, we want to serve you and love you, and we want to partner with you. We want to co-labor with you. We ask, Holy Spirit, would you help us do that? Would you show us which area today, just what we need to take from this? What's the takeaway for us today? We pray, touch our eyes. Touch our inner person. Touch our wills and our purposes by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.